Hello and welcome to The Graveyard Shift, the weekly horror podcast where we take listener-suggested movies and break them down into the good, the bad, and anything else we find fun and or relevant. My name is Mike, and I never work The Graveyard Shift alone. Please say hello to my big goofy partner in all of my failed business ventures, Eric.
Oh, God. It's good to be back, Mike.
It has been a while, but you are back and you had a great idea for this month's theme.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised you allowed me back considering what we covered on my last appearance on The Graveyard Shift. The ever fun Once Upon a Time at Christmas.
The wounds have healed.
It was an adventure for you, and that's why it's been months and months since I've been back.
The schism has been, the rift has been mended.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Because this was my idea, like you said.
Yeah, you didn't just suggest this week's movie, you suggested this month's theme, where we are going to cover the first, well, not first or last, more like a random assortment leading to half of the Leprechaun franchise. Yes. There's been 8 movies done total, I think.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to say yes, because it's late at night and I don't feel like counting.
And so we're going to be covering at least 4 of them. Mm-hmm. And depending on schedule conflicts, maybe 5.
Correct.
But yeah, so we're going to be, this month's theme is the March of the Leprechauns. And we're going to be starting off the theme with the movie that started it all. Today's episode is, oh, but this Alex Murphy survives, because we watched Leprechaun.
Yes, we did.
I thought the title would get a bit more of a jolt out of you, considering how much you hate the Alex Murphy of this movie.
Yeah, that's true, but you know what? The less we speak of him, the better, because we're going to speak about him enough.
Yes. This movie was directed by Mark Jones, produced by Jeffrey B. Mallion, written by Mark Jones, music by Kevin Kiner and Robert J. Walsh, edited by Christopher Roth, produced by Trimark Pictures, one of their first in-house movies, if not the first in-house movie, and with a release date of January 8th, 1993, with a runtime of 92 minutes. This had a budget of $1 million. And a box office of $8.6 million. So, all things considered, a modest success despite its Rotten Tomatoes score and accumulated reviews of about 21%.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, it did not. It wasn't received well at the time, and it hasn't aged too great since.
I know its reputation, and I was expecting it to be low, but damn, not that low.
Yeah. It starred Warwick Davis as Ludban the Leprechaun, even though we didn't hear him named in this movie. I guess we'd have to hear it in other ones.
Yeah, he's apparently named in like the second Hood movie, but only in the credits or some bullshit. Just call him the Leprechaun. His first name means nothing.
Yeah, with Jennifer Aniston, pre-Friends, Jennifer Aniston as Tori Redding.
Pre-nose job, too.
Yeah, and Ken Olant as Nathan Murphy. Mark Halton as Ozzie Jones. Robert High Gorman as Alex Murphy. No, different Alex Murphy. Alex Murphy! David Permenter as Deputy Trippett. Trippett Good. William Newman as Sheriff Roy Cronin. I really wish that that the other guy would have been Deputy Berg, so we'd have Cronin and Berg.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of missed opportunities in this movie.
Yeah.
So we had Shea Duffin as Daniel O'Grady. Donnie O'Grady. And Pamela Ment as Mrs. O'Grady. With John Sandiford as Jackie D. J.D. Redding. And John Volstadt as Joe. So before we get to the goods, I found a little bit of trivia. Do you have any trivia?
I have a little bit, but let's see if it's not the same thing that you have.
Okay, well, first, how the fuck did a movie like this get made? Well, Mark Jones, the director, had a career in American television shows, and desiring to make a film, he wanted to enter the field with a low-budget horror film, thinking that would be the best opportunity. He was inspired by the Lucky Charms commercials to create a leprechaun character, only his twist was to turn it into a villain. He was further influenced by the film Critters, which also featured a small, terrifying antagonist. Jones brought the concept to Trimark, who were looking to get into film production and distribution. So Leprechaun became the first in-house production by Trimark to be theatrically released. Entertainment Weekly quoted the budget at just under $1 million. In an interview with Fangoria, Jones stated he began writing the script in 1985. So if you think, for whatever we are going to get into in this movie, one thing we will not be able to say about it was that it was a rush job. Mm-hmm. Because this movie had 8 years to percolate and refine and distill. So this is the absolute best that you can do when you're like, give it time, work out the kinks. This is the end result of patience and deliberate thought.
Take that however you want.
He spent a long time developing the leprechaun character, which he initially envisioned as a horrible, murderous creature, but which became a more comedic and developed character before filming began. Damn it, I wonder. It got changed. All that timing, all that stuff I was talking about, and it got changed right before the filming began, like 8 years of whatever the leprechaun might have been, but Warwick Davis, who loved the script and was excited to play the character, was the one who thought, we got, like, the concept is silly, we should make him silly.
All those wasted years. Well, they were probably thinking, well, you know, this guy was in Return of the Jedi and Willow, you know, he knows his stuff. You know, he worked with big wigs like George Lucas and Ron Howard.
Oh, speaking of big wigs, this was filmed at Big Sky Ranch, where Little House on the Prairie and the Waltons were shot. So, Davis said that it felt a little blasphemous. And Davis also performed most of his own stunts.
Yep, that's actually pretty neat.
For the scene where he's chasing Aniston in a wheelchair, she had to run in slow motion so that Davis could keep up with her. And you say that, but he's also in fast motion, so how fucking slow was he going? He could have walked faster. And it said that they had to change, like, the motion of the camera because he had trouble manipulating the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about that later. I'm going to have my own questions. But it says that the film was initially a straightforward horror, but Davis thought and sought to add more comedic elements. Jones agreed with this tonal shift. So what began as a horror was shot as a horror comedy. And several scenes actually had to be reshot after the producers insisted it had to be made gorier to appeal to older audiences. And a man named Gabe Bartalos performed the makeup effects, which we will talk about. And Trimark contacted Bartalos to produce a sample. His early efforts were not to his liking, so he pushed the design in a more grotesque direction, as that's what he wanted to see on the screen as a horror fan. And that design impressed Trimark's, and he got the job. Applying the makeup took 3 hours, and taking it off took another 40 minutes. Davis described the experience as not a pleasant sensation. And to pass the time while the makeup was being applied, he said he had the most bizarre conversations with Bartalos, with whom he got along well. And he was conscious of the need to stay relaxed and not move, and he channeled his confidence that the makeup effects were being properly applied into his acting. So he acted with the confidence that you can only acquire when you're forced to have that shit put on your face for 3 hours. And you think, this better be fucking good. So he put everything he got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my trivia. What's yours?
A couple things, because we did have a couple of the same things. I thought it was kind of interesting that both George Lucas and, at the time, Vice President Dan Quayle both received a special thanks in the credits.
I saw Lucas. I didn't see Quayle. Yeah. I didn't notice him.
Yeah, Lucas got it because Warwick was still under contract to him. For, you know, all the Lucasfilm stuff, because they were still making, like, Ewok movies and shit like that. And he actually had to give Davis permission to appear in the movie. But apparently Dan Quayle got a special thanks in the credit because his office sped up a work visa for Warwick Davis because Warwick is British, which is just interesting.
That's fantastic.
Tony Cox, he's a dwarf actor. You might know him from like Bad Santa and Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, and, yeah. He's like the... Yeah, I remember him now.
Yeah, he's a little African-American dwarf. He was actually... He starred with Warwick Davis in Willow, and then he has an appearance as a little cameo in Leprechaun 2, just as like a little person pretending to be a leprechaun. So that's kind of neat how they star together in a Leprechaun sequel, but they are not on screen together.
Oh.
Let's see here. Let's see. You said that. Apparently Warwick Davis and his wife, you know, Warwick without the makeup, they are, I haven't noticed them. I just found this in the trivia that him and his wife are in the diner scene when Tori and Nathan are talking.
Huh. I wish I'd known that beforehand.
Yeah.
Would have looked out for it.
But that's about it. Anything worth talking about.
Well, that is awesome. So, let's get to the goods. And we always start with me. Quick credits with Celtic writing and green backing on the front is how this movie starts. It's simple. It's not too simple. Like, you know, when we watched The Stuff and we thought like, oh, if it's going to be like an oozing white thing, we're going to see oozing white credits. No, it's that one was just terrible. This one, it's simple, but it knows its theme and it sticks with it.
Yeah, very self-referential or self-referential. It knows what it is. You know what I mean, basically.
And we got, like, music greeting the credits, like some nice Celtic music. But nothing, like, from the score of Titanic. Like,
okay. Imagine all the leprechaun terrorizing people that's on the Titanic as it's sinking.
Oh, my God. Leprechaun at sea, and he's on the Titanic. He's the reason it crashes into an iceberg, because he kills the steer. Who's the guy that steers the boat? He's not the captain.
No, he's not the captain. I have no idea.
The shipsman?
First mate? I don't know.
First mate, maybe. Yeah, sure. That would be great. The first mate sees the iceberg. He goes to correct it. Then he gets attacked from behind by the leprechaun. And then, like, that's when the ship steers into the iceberg. And he's the reason behind everything.
Women and mythical creatures first.
He just shows up in, like, a little dress. Let me in the fucking boat.
I don't take up that much room.
I'll sit on your shoulders.
Oh, shit.
So what's your first cut? I missed this.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to ask you. This was your first time actually seeing this, right?
It was so long ago, I completely forgot everything, so it might as well have been my first.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure, because I was pretty sure. I know the rest of the ones that we're going to talk about, you're going in blind, but I wasn't sure if you'd ever seen the original one.
Well, I had seen bits and pieces, like usually like skipping all across the movie channel at the time. Yeah. So I remember seeing one where like the leprechaun, I think it was the leprechaun, like doing a Vegas show, cutting someone in half.
Yeah, that's part three. Okay.
So, yeah, it's so vague.
Yeah. Well, we'll say this is your first time.
Yeah.
We'll just start right off with it. I think Warwick Davis is a lot of fun in this movie.
He's fantastic.
He knows what it is. It's like I always say, you know, the movie's about a killer leprechaun. You have to go. It's like going in to see Howard the Duck. You have to have a certain mind frame for what you're going to go see. Warwick knows what he's doing. It's a horror movie about a killer leprechaun terrorizing people in an abandoned farmhouse, basically. So he knows what it is. He knows it's schlocky. He takes it and he uses those little legs of his to run with it, and I think he does a fantastic job. He's good at being creepy. He's good at being funny. He's good at being stupid. And when I mean stupid, I'm talking about when he's on roller skates or in the wheelchair and all that type of stuff. He, from beginning to end, is the reason to watch this film, and not just because of its stupid, air quotes, premise. He's fantastic in this, and
he's in it for the long haul, or the short haul.
The short guy is in it for the long haul, And I will say this, not to say which ones we're going to review down the line, but there are certain ones where he gets even better.
Oh, wow. Because yeah. I fucking love his acting. Mm-hmm. I love his costume. I love mm-hmm. the makeup on his face. His facial expressions working with the prosthetics are just a knockout. It is for whatever bad we will be saying, like mm-hmm. If you're in this just to see what's the leprechaun do and what's he look like, that alone is great.
Yeah, it's a great, his wee little boots, all that stuff, you know.
The buckles on his shoes, the buckle on his hat.
It's a great look, too, because, you know, we got Darby O'Gill and the Little People and, you know, Lucky Charms, all that type of stuff, you know, that we're used to. This is a truly horrifying looking leprechaun when you look at the face and the hands, you know, and all that stuff. And then Warwick, like I said, he acts through that makeup and you can tell he's having a blast.
Oh, yeah. It's such genuine joy that mm-hmm. he's having doing this, and it's reflected in his work.
Oh, yeah.
My next good is the music. It's touching at the sweet moments, mm-hmm. also great for suspense. It's, it doesn't stand out as bad. And if you can do that with your score, then you nailed it.
And it's not, you know, it's when he uses, like, the Irish folk, like, sounding music, it's not, like, ad nauseum. He does it in parts where it's perfectly used. You know, it's not just, you know, hey, there's Leprechaun, let's throw in some, you know, type of, it's spread out sporadically enough to work.
Indeed. What's your next good?
Okay, my next good is the death of Mrs. O'Grady. She's, it's creepy enough as it is, you know, the leprechaun is stuck in he's in a trunk, and he's speaking like a little kid. He scares her, and she falls down the basement stairs in a really good-looking stunt. But what I love is when Mr. O'Grady, Dan, walks in on her dead body, and the leprechaun is just behind her, just moving her head. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Killer Clowns when the clown was using the asshole sergeant or whatever it was as a ventriloquist puppet.
Yeah, Sergeant Moody.
Yeah, and this was a little different because we didn't see any mouth move. We just see like Mrs. O'Grady just laying there with her you know, no pun intended, her dead eyes, some blood trickling out. But then the leprechaun says something like, "Oh, it's okay, Dan. I just fell down. I have a little kink in me neck. I'll be okay." You know. Again, it's more fun of Warwick, and him doing an impression of an old lady's voice is not just hilarious, but also creepy in parts. The way he's just moving her, you know, her dead weight head back and forth. It's just, it's a great opening, I think. In this goofy fucking movie, it's one of the few, like, creepy moments.
Yeah. It's one of many good kills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my next good is, I simply call it the Scrooge McDuck pogo kill. Because he takes a shop owner who is appraising one of his coins, and he doesn't really ask for the gold so much as just basically mangles him
mm-hmm.
until he gets the coin, and then just to, I don't know, tie up any loose ends or whatever, he just grabs a pogo stick and just jumps on the guy's lungs. Just like you can see, like, just holes spurting blood. And he's even singing, like, "This old man, he played one, he played knick-knack on your lung."
Yeah. Or what was it? "This old lep, he played one, he played pogo on your lungs." And what I have that down in my good, especially, is before he gets, and it's one of those old-timey, like, wooden pogo sticks. So you have a good close-up shot of the wooden pogo, the stick part, like, crushing down on this man's chest as his cheeks explode with blood. But my favorite part of that scene is right before you see, like, the pogo, like, pouncing on the shop owner, is for some reason Mark Jones puts that part of the leprechaun jumping on the pogo stick in slow motion, along with the shop owner yelling no in slow motion. And again, it's another one of these creepy moments, I think. Before the goofy shit when he's, you know, hopping up and down on this fat guy's chest, you know?
So what's your next good?
You know this, when we were talking offline, my next guess is I just find Ozzy so lovable in this movie. I really, really like this guy. And it could be because I'm a big fan of Mark Holton. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Teen Wolf. I told you about that time when he played John Wayne Gacy, which was...
Did you see that movie?
Yeah. I don't think it's as bad as the critics say. It's kind of boring in parts, but he is phenomenal. But he's also good when he shows up just in cameos, like he's the adult Stillwell character in A League of Their Own, or when he's in Naked Gun, you know, hey, it's Enrico Palazzo, you know, that type of stuff. Hmm. But he's playing, I guess, a simple-minded adult, I guess you would say. I don't want to say mentally retarded, you know what I mean, without trying to sound too harsh. I don't know, maybe just low IQ. But he's lovable, he's childlike, he's fun at times, he's the butt of the joke at times. And then a scene I'll get to later on, towards the end of the movie, we get a little bit of a 180 where he has his hero moment. And I just, other than Warwick, Mark Holton makes Ozzy my favorite character of the movie. Now, that could be because there's other characters that we'll talk about on another part of our different list, but I really like Ozzy in this movie. I think he's a lot of fun. He's very just lovable and sweet.
Yeah, he is. My next good is Never Pull Over a Leprechaun. Because this one cop who could have just been, he sees the leprechaun peeling out on this toy car. Not a toy car, like a little model, but what were those little cars that the kids could drive?
I know exactly what you're talking. I had one of those. Like, they were battery operated. I think they were the Fisher Price or something. They were big enough basically for like a 3 or 4 year old to get into. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I would have loved to have one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But he sees the leprechaun just peeling down the highway in one of those things. Like, it's souped up or something because it's going way too fast.
Yeah.
But he decides to give the leprechaun a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And the leprechaun decides, oh, you want my attention? Oh, you got my attention.
Yeah, and again, Warwick's just having so much fun. He's like, you know, it's not nice to make fun of a leprechaun. Oh, you're a leprechaun, honey. Like, he kicks the side of the door, and you just hear Warwick just hiss at him. And and then again, he does like the iron claw. Warwick does like the iron claw on this deputy. And in, you know, cut in between the deputy screaming like a little girl, again, Mark Jones has the camera on Warwick. And you just see Warwick look at the gun in the holster, and he has this big smile, this big like Cheshire Cat grin on his face. And he takes the gun, and then like, it cuts back to the chaos and stuff. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's a really funny, creepy scene.
So what's your next good?
My next good, we'll keep going with the deputy, is I have a, you want to play a creepy game of hide and seek in the woods? I love how he, this dumb deputy, and I'll say why he's so dumb. I love how he's being chased in the woods by the leprechaun, and you just hear the leprechaun's voice talking to him. And then when we see the POV of the deputy, of course, it's just all these trees around. So it cuts to the deputy looking, then we get to see the deputy looking around. Then we see his point of view, you know, back and forth as the leprechaun's taunting him. And it's just so much fun. And then we don't see the leprechaun on screen, and the deputy, you know, this is where I call him dumb. he just randomly throws his nightstick out in the middle of the forest. And then, again, fucking Warwick Davis, he pops up from behind a tree. He jumps up, throws his hands in the air like he's playing fetch, and runs after the fucking nightstick. You know? It's creepy mixed with comedy. It's like that perfect 50-50 with a lot of this stuff. And I just love it. And, again, you know, hearing that Warwick's taunting with a little bit of an echo in this part of the woods, and seeing those trees, and they're skinny trees, but again, it's a leprechaun. The fucker can hide behind them easily. I think it's just a really creative use of, like you said, $1 million budget, you know, nothing.
Yeah, it was a highlight. Mm-hmm. It was just so good to just see this cop like just losing his shit, like mm-hmm. no calling for backup. Like, not once did he ever think, go back to the car. Like, either hunker down, run, go back to the station, or forget. Like, nothing. Like,
yep.
No, don't grab the shotgun out of the trunk. Like, he had so much at his disposal. But everyone's got a plan until they get their face ripped off.
And, you know, and this actor, you know, kind of like going back to Mark Holton, Mark could have played, you know, I'll just call him Simple Ozzy, I guess, could have played him so over the top or even kind of offensive. This deputy, I thought, wasn't over the top with being terrified, wasn't over the top being scared or anything like that. He was pretty downplayed, but you can tell this actor, you know, just in his body language and like his eyes and stuff, he looked pretty frightened. And then, of course, he throws a nightstick. It's like the epitome of, like, okay, I ran out of bullets, I'm going to throw the gun at you type of thing. Like, what the fuck's that going to do, you know?
Oh, yeah. I just thought that, you know, the leprechaun was going to take the stick and just, like, throw it back at him, but, like, impale him against a tree with it.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool.
My next good is Nate showing Tori that her shoe is also a dead cow, so her big, her high horse about being a vegetarian is founded on lies.
Thank God. Nathan finally showed he had a purpose in this movie, just to shut her up. And it was good. Like, that was nice, too. He really didn't care. And I'll tell you what, man, I would have eaten that Salisbury steak or whatever it was. That actually looked good. I grew up in Greasy Spoon type of, you know, restaurants, you know?
Yeah, it would have been. I mean, like when you look like Nate, you can afford to tell someone who looks like Tori, like, you can afford to tell them off and still be like, yeah, I still like my chances.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew he was going to be able to get her by the end of the movie.
So what's your next good?
My next good is, where is it? Okay, I don't know which came first. I don't remember, but I'll write it down. The creepy crawly hand effect. There's a scene where the leprechaun is trying to come into a door, and the door is shut on his hand, and it literally rips his hand off. So he's walking around with a kind of a pretty cool looking, like, bloody stump with some green blood and stuff, but the effect, because the Warwick, the leprechaun, gets locked out of the room, but we see his hand crawling on the floor, and then it crawls up the door to unlock the door to let him in. I think for almost no budget, you can tell most of the budget went into Warwick's makeup effects and probably this walking hand effect. I thought it looked pretty damn good, to be honest.
It was.
And it was creepy as hell. Like I said, the creep factor in this goofy movie, I think, is spot on. I think just people focus too much on the comedy of this movie to realize that it really is quite creepy in parts.
Yeah, I have to wonder, oh man, if only we had like some, like a what if the past machine. Mm-hmm. Like, not enough to like actually change time, because that would just be stupid, but something would be like, if we just went back in time and saw what the second choice would have been. Mm-hmm. Just to see what a leprechaun where Warwick Davis just kept his mouth shut and just be like, the script's great as is. All right, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what the horror leprechaun would look like.
Yeah, because, I mean, this had its horror elements, but just think if it was straight-on horror, what we could have gotten.
My next good is when he's in the house and he finds the box of Lucky Clover cereal.
Yep, had that.
Just enough to avoid copyright. I mean, I seriously thought this was a box of Lucky Charms.
Oh, shit, I did have that written. I have that up on the computer. Where it is. Okay, the scene required the leprechaun to find and eat Lucky Charms cereal. And General Mills gave them permission, but then they were so upset when they saw the finished film that they revoked their permission. So they had to reshoot the scene, and they replaced it with Lucky Clovers. And that is why Alex.
So this is a reshoot? Like, how did they do that? Like, did they demand a copy in advance, or was there a theatrical release with the Lucky Charms in it?
Maybe they saw like the dailies or the work print or something like that. But they reshot the scene and they replaced it with the Lucky Clovers. And apparently, at the end, when Alex, you know, saves the day with his Dennis the Menace like slingshot move with the four leaf clover and the bubble gum, originally he was going to say to the leprechaun, "Your luck just ran out." But after General Mills pulled Lucky Charms out of the film, that's why they made Alex say, "Fuck you, Lucky Charms."
Oh, it was a spite it was a spite revision.
Yep, and it worked. It worked.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I had Lucky Clovers. Let's see here. The next thing I said, the crawling hand. As dumb as it is, I liked the scene where they had to distract the leprechaun by throwing all the shoes out into the open field. Now, the leprechauns, it's kind of like, you know how vampires are kind of OCD, you know, the whole you throw some rice and they have to pick up every single grain of rice type of thing. Well, leprechauns, they're shoemakers, so they like to shine shoes. So there's this scene where they had to distract the leprechaun while I think Tori was going to, like, the old folks' home or whatever for Mr. O'Grady. And it's not really the idea of what they're doing to distract the leprechaun. It's Warwick Davis in his wee little legs and his wee little boots running down this big old field chasing random shoes.
Just toddling on the field.
He is, and you can tell he's tired because there's perfect shots of him just huffing and puffing and looking over his head as the shoes are sailing over him, and his shoulders like slump when he knows he has to go do this, and he's jumping over shoes to get to the shoes that are farther away. It's a lot of fucking fun watching this poor little actor, and I don't mean like little as in he's a little person, but it's just this poor actor, it's just a choice of words, do this. And you know Mark Jones was just having fucking fun. He's just saying, throw the shoes. Warwick, every single fucking shoe you go and you shine it up. Oh, do I have to shut up and do it? You know, we're behind schedule. You know, it's just goofy concept-wise, execution-wise, and I laugh. And you're supposed to. I laugh every time I watch the scene because I think there's even a close-up of Warwick, like, you know, he's out of breath, and like even his tongue is like hanging out of his mouth, like he just ran a marathon. It's so much fun.
My final good,
okay,
is how he keeps upgrading his rides because he starts off on. We see him on a pogo stick. We see him in a little. First we see him on a tricycle. Then he gets a pogo stick. Too bad he doesn't like keep it for getting around town because he's in the shop and he instantly sees the little yellow kid car. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the movie, holy shit, he upgrades to a fucking battle bot.
Oh, God, yeah.
Turns out he's been making a fucking little mini tank in the barn.
Complete with old timey honky horn.
He comes out in this thing fucking loaded with metal. It is fierce.
He's got a pitchfork at the end of it as like a hood ornament. Oh, God.
Like him finding his sweet rides and not to get too far ahead of myself, but in the next movie we cover, he continues his trend of finding amazing rides.
Yeah, we'll save that, but you're right, he does.
So they set a precedent and they keep it. It's fucking great. It's just too damn beautiful. And that's my final good.
Okay, I have three more. They're pretty quick. Well, you mentioned how he soups up his rides. You didn't mention the scene where he gets roller skates and he's chasing Tori when she's in the Jeep. I'm not liking the roller skates, but I like when he misses his turn and he's going downhill and he goes through the fence and literally the next thing we see is like Wile E. Coyote. A leprechaun shaped hole through this white picket fence like Wile E. Coyote. It's just fucking hilarious. And then you see him crawl through it. So that's hilarious.
It's fucking priceless.
So, the next.
You know what? I may have to take it back. I think this is a horror film. May have been pretty bad because this is pretty fucking funny.
I know it's a perfect like 50-50 mix. You know, you have that comic relief to relieve the tension in a Warwick Davis Leprechaun movie, but however you want to say it, you know. Two more. My next good is I like the scene where Ozzy becomes a hero. Alex is going to get killed by the leprechaun. His face is going to get pushed into a bear trap. And damn it, Ozzy, you save him at the last moment. He screams at the top of his lung. He like opens up the barn door. He like rips off part of the barn door. And instead of being, you know, I hate saying simply Ozzy, he, you know, his voice deepens. He's saying, "No, you little son of a bitch. I have your last coin." You know, it's the first time we've ever seen him swear because he's always telling Alex to watch his mouth and this and that. And he's saying, you know, if you want your last gold coin, you know, I swallowed it because he did the whole, you know, bite the coin to make sure it's real bullshit trick.
Yeah, that made me that was one of the things that made me put Ozzy on a different list.
OK, but I love this scene because it's his hero moment. And then again, Warwick goes from goofy to like he has like this guttural voice. He's like, "Then it's your belly I want," and he chases after him and he takes the buckle off either one of his shoes or his hat and he is just cutting the hell out of Ozzy's face. And by the end of it, after the leprechaun is defeated, air quotes, the blood effects on Ozzy's cheeks, like, as for a cheap movie, I think, you know, the gashes and the blood and the gore look pretty decent. So I liked the hero moment. I liked Warwick, that voice he uses, and then just Ozzy getting cut to shit. I think that was a really cool, long scene. And my final good is I liked the melting effect. After the leprechaun gets the Dennis the Menace four-leaf clover shot down his throat, and he starts melting, I just think it's a really cool, you know, looking slimy, gross melting effect. And then, you know, when he's coming out of the well, and he's still saying, "I want me gold," in like this, you know, this bubbly, you know, gurgly voice. It's just a really cool last time we see him on screen. So I like that.
It was good. It was a good villain destruction. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked fucking grotesque and scary.
Yeah.
It stopped being funny at that point. It was just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a good way to end the movie. And, it was the good part of that ending. The other part, well, that's on the list that's coming up, but you're going to have to wait a while for it. So, let's get to the bads. What is the first of the... There's got to be a couple of bads on this list.
I've got a few. My first one, you know what my first one is. Robert High Gorman, who plays Alex, fucking sucks. I hate him in this movie. I hate him in every single movie I've seen him in, be it Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, or Rookie of the Year, or Sometimes They Come Back, or whatever movie he's in. He is not likable.
Well, lucky for you, he didn't come back after that.
Yeah, thank God. he's like Jake Lloyd. He's like 1993 Jake Lloyd to me. you know, minus the psychotic stuff. Yeah, that's not really his fault, but still. Robert High Gorman as Alex. The character is unlikable. Even for a bratty teen, his line delivery is horrible. His lines are horrible. Like after, you know, he's painting the house, he's like, boy, I could sure go for a beer right now. Stop. Who are you trying to impress? Ozzy, he's just as smart as you. Stop it. So he's unlikable there. You know, when he's trying to act tough, you know, saying, you know, you can kill anything, just give me a 357 Magnum. You know, I don't like anything about this kid. His look, his voice, nothing. Yeah.
I wonder why he didn't get much work later on as he became like a young adult. And I have to wonder if it's because every time he went to a party, he always showed up like on drugs. And when they tell him to, tone it down, he goes, but high is my middle name.
Ugh, God, I hated him so much. What else has he been in? I'm looking him up now. Go ahead. I'm going to look up this guy just to hate him a little bit more.
Okay, my first good, Tori. She's annoying and childish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got her down too.
She's just not a likable character. I mean, Jennifer Aniston, fucking cute. I love her in Horrible Bosses. She fucking owned that movie. So she's got talent, and she's gorgeous, and she can definitely bring a role to life when the role is good and she's directed properly, and I don't know what went wrong, but I think whoever wrote this just didn't have a great view of women, or they just decided we're going to have a bad view of this woman, because there weren't other women in this movie, was there, besides Mrs. O'Grady, and she didn't last long.
Oh, Mr. Nanny. That's where I knew that kid. Thank God that movie's not a horror movie, so I don't got to talk about it. Anyways, I have Tori on this as well. I just put Tori. She's the annoying, spoiled brat. That is her character. Jennifer Aniston nails that character, but the problem is she's so unlikable.
She nails a terrible character.
Yeah, she's maybe too good for this character, if that makes any sense, because when you first meet her, she's already complaining about, you know, to her dad, about, you know, no cell phone service and no valets and all this stupid shit. And then it keeps going with the whole, I'm not going to eat your Salisbury steak because that's cut up dead cow. And like she's still like yelling and screaming at Ozzy by the end of the movie, and she's just so unlikable. Like even like they try to give her like a badass moment when like she gets the shotgun and they say, do you know how to use this? And she says no. And you know she cocks the shotgun. I'm like, no, that doesn't even work because I already hate you so much. They can't even give you that. Like it's like, you know, in the Monster Squad when like Horace, you know, kills the creature from the Black Lagoon, and then he cocks the shotgun. He's the hero. No, I've already hated Tori so much in this movie. Yeah, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, poor Jennifer Aniston. You did a good job. It was just a shit job.
Yeah. Next bad is... Okay. As much as I loved the Wile E. Coyote imprint of Warwick going through the fence, some of the goofy shit in this movie really, it's kind of thrown in your face all at once. Like when he, between the roller skates and the wheelchair, it's a little too much because... When we get to the wheelchair part, how you said in the trivia, how it's sped up, and it just looks so off-putting. Like, it's tough enough. We have little Warwick sitting on a cushion with his legs sticking out forward, and then you speed up the way he is moving his hands on the wheelchair. It just looks so weird, and it's... when the comedy is done right in this movie, we've already said how it works. But this, we got unintentional comedy, and I thought that was just a little kind of cringy.
Yeah, that wheelchair's on my list, too. It's a downgrade in his rides. Mm-hmm. Like, he can run faster than this. Fuck, he can teleport. Mm-hmm. At this point, he's got a lot of his gold back. He should be getting better, not stupider and dumber.
Yep. Yeah, because we do. We see him teleport when she's standing outside the well. When she first gets the bag of coins. So, fuck you need a wheelchair for? Give it back to Michelle Grady.
Or at least it could have been like a souped-up wheelchair so that he doesn't have to, like, have his hands on the wheel. Fucking great if he's got a wheelchair with a little joystick on it and he's chasing her and it's like, and every time he turns the corner, like, he does a little on the cornering. And
you just really liked that BattleBot car he made, don't you?
I mean, if he's got technical engineering skills, use them. That would be fucking great.
Imagine him in, like, the Fast and the Furious type movies.
The Fast and the Little.
Yeah. You can replace Bow Wow with him, and it's perfect, you know? They're about the same height. You know, they would use the same booster seat.
My next bad is, who sticks their hand in a tree trunk hole? Yeah. And you're expecting a cat in there. Like, have you fucking met cats?
Even if it is a cat, you don't stick your fucking hand in there. Yeah, Jesus
Christ. Yeah. Even if there is a cat in there and you wanted to get out, you're not going to stick your hand in there and be like, hey, Manu, and like opening up your hand. You should fucking know cats. Mm-hmm. You want to get that cat out, you just spray some water in there and he'll fucking bolt.
And, you know, and especially if you're in the country and it's one of them feral cats, you're fucked.
Yeah, you just got to pour some water on that fucker and he'll move himself for you.
Yeah.
Just stay out of his way while he moves.
Yeah, Tori's dad got what he deserved there. And then they followed up, you know, it's a decent bite effect, but then it follows up with like that shot down the trunk of the tree, and it looks like it's just a picture of Warwick just kind of looking up, kind of smiling and licking his lips. It just looked so fake, it was horrible.
I was expecting him to like to lean out and give a wave and be like, that's all, folks.
Ain't I a stinker?
Ain't I a little stinker?
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, so what's your next bad?
Okay, I only have two more. As you can tell, I really enjoyed this film. Spoilers. We're back at the retirement home. We're talking about the fake-out with Mr. O'Grady. You knew right when she walked in the room that it was the leprechaun, you know, pretending to be Mr. O'Grady. You know, there's only one way to defeat the leprechaun, but I'm not going to tell ya. You know, and then he turns around, it's the whole sped-up wheelchair scene. But then, of course, just out of nowhere, Tori ends up in the elevator and Mr. O'Grady falls through the ceiling? How the fuck did that old man who had a stroke like 5-10 years ago get up into the top of on the top of an elevator?
I figured that the leprechaun dragged him up to the top of the elevator shaft and just dropped him on it.
Why? That just makes no sense. I mean,
it's granted, a lot of work. Like, he could have just snapped his neck, ripped his head off.
Exactly.
He could have shoved his dentures down his throat. He could have done so fucking much.
Yeah. It was kind of a fine jump scare. You knew we were going to see Mr. O'Grady somehow, but just having him, like, literally almost fall through. And the poor guy doesn't even fall all the way through. He's hanging there, caught on all the wires and stuff. It was just a dumb scene.
I'm going to tell you how to kill the leprechaun. Oh.
Exactly. And that's how I was feeling during that scene. But, well. Minor bad, but it definitely belongs on that list.
Oh, I've got a bad for the old folks home as well. And that is the Dutch angles that we get. Like, you motherfucker, this has not earned the type of menace that we're dealing with. The old folks home has not been established as like a spooky place or like the leprechaun's base. And like a Dutch angle is supposed to be like when you want to give like an off-kilter sense of something not being right. Mm-hmm. Not just like, hey, I'm going to tilt the camera so it feels all twisty. Like, it's like trying to imitate, it's like a kid imitating something that he sees without understanding why it's there.
Right. Yeah, it's just this off-putting and it again, you know, it's a fucking Leprechaun movie, but it takes you out of the moment, if that makes sense. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Night of the Hunter and other movies, when they do a Dutch angle, it's supposed to be like, when a person walks in and they're standing like that, it's supposed to give like, it's skewing the world. So you can be like, oh, this is a twisted man, because when he appears, the world is twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's purpose in that. This? No, it was supposed to be like, this will creep people out.
No. Yeah, kind of. Not really.
So what's your next bad?
All right, my last bad, we're going to go back to Robert High Gorman, because I really, really don't like this kid. And it's, you know, I loved Ozzy's hero moment. I hate Alex's hero moment. I liked it as a kid, but as we grow up, our tastes change when it comes to movies. You know, Ozzy's getting sliced up, like I said, and they find out from old man O'Grady when he's just hanging around like Spider-Man. You know, through the elevator, that the only way to kill a leprechaun is with a four-leaf clover. So they find a four-leaf clover in the clover patch, as the dying old man says. They find one, and Ozzy's getting cut up to shit, and Alex, I call him Dennis the Menace, he whips out a slingshot that I don't think we've seen until now. And he has a piece of chewed-up bubblegum, and he puts it in the clover, and he could have just, you know, hurried up and put it in, you know, done what he had to do, you know, put the gum in the clover and get ready to shoot it. But no, he's yelling and screaming with his, you know, Peter Brady puberty squeaking voice. Hold on, Ozzy, you know, I'll save you. Hold on, I'm coming. And, it, you know, he just won't shut the fuck up. As Ozzy's dying, I'm sure Ozzy's thinking what we're thinking, just shut the fuck up and shoot the thing. And then he slows down and he says, hey, Lep, like he's trying to be, you know, he's getting ready to do this Schwarzenegger type, you know, pun or whatever. He says, you know, fuck you, Lucky Charms, shoots the four-leaf clover down the leprechaun's throat. Again, it would be a cool moment if I didn't already hate this kid 90 minutes ago. It was like a wasted hero moment. And like I said, maybe if you're 10 years old, 11 years old, and you are watching this movie, you might think that's cool because, you know, you get to see a kid your age say, fuck you. Because, you know, when we were kids and we saw kids swearing like that, we thought it was cool. But now as I've gotten older and I've grown to hate this kid so much, I'm going to go to the internet and, you know, I'll pull something from, like, you know, all the people complaining about remakes. This ruined my childhood. Okay. No, it was just like a wasted hero moment now since my tastes have changed. This is another reason for me to dislike this punk. And that's it. I've ranted enough and I feel better.
It could have been worse. He could have aimed the slingshot and be like, go ahead, make my St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, you're right. It could have been worse. I will say this. The fuck you Lucky Charms, which they put four Lucky Charms, did sound better than your luck just ran out, which was the original line, like they said. So I'll give it that, but I still hate the kid. So. That's my last bad.
My remaining bads. The noticeable ADR.
Yeah.
Like when he's pogo jumping on the pawn shop owner or towards him. And clearly, like, the owner is, like, saying stuff that he's not actually visibly saying on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or when the cop is running from him, he's making exhausted sounds that clearly sound like it was recorded in a studio because it's more crisp and clear than a man who would be running outdoors.
Yeah.
Another bad is Nate shooting the bushes. Not like, you know, not like shotguns have limited ammo or anything.
Mm-hmm. poor Warwick Davis. When Warwick gets shot with that shotgun, you can tell he's just getting pulled on a string, and that little guy is just flying through the air. Man, that looks painful.
Oh, he gets recoiled. They sell that.
Oh, man.
But Nate shoots the bushes. Like, the ammo is gone. Well, he basically, like, he keeps shooting at the bushes without seeing the leprechaun in it. He's just, it's like I expected him to have intelligence, but apparently he used it all up after that sick burn in the diner.
Mm-hmm.
And the last bit of stupidity was in the final scene. I call it burning well. Because they pour some gas down a well, and then they throw a match down there. And instead of like a little whoosh, no, apparently they poured liquid nitroglycerin into that fucking well. Because that thing goes fucking up.
Yeah, it does. Maybe it's all the Irish whiskey that was probably in the leprechaun's veins. You never know. The Irish know how to drink, dude.
My blood type isn't A or B. It's 4.1. It's 8.1. So I got a what the fuck.
Okay.
And that is the BattleBot. Tossing the truck is just like, what the fuck? There was so much he could have done with this that made more sense. But, you know, ramming it, this thing is like, what, 80 pounds, maybe 100 pounds?
Yeah. And
it would jostle the truck.
The leprechaun himself, to be realistic, Warwick, maybe 100 pounds, soaking wet with a couple bricks in his pocket. You know?
So, yeah, he could have chased them on foot with it. Mm-hmm. Like, give him a vehicle. When they don't, there's some fucking menace mm-hmm. for you. That would have been good. Or even if he's launching stuff like the pitchfork. Imagine he presses a button and the pitchfork goes flying through the window. That would be great. Or a Molotov launcher to get them out of the truck. Then he chases them on foot. Like, there's so much untapped potential with that vehicle.
And there is
it was squandered.
There is a really bad camera shot. Like, once they're hit, like, the stunt itself of seeing the truck flip over is good, but there's a camera shot where the camera kind of moves, like, upside down and around where while we're watching our cast, like, in the front seat. It looks horrible. But I will say this. I won't say, since you're in the dark about all of the Leprechaun films, I'm not going to say if it's one that we're doing this year, but he does upgrade, and there is a go-kart scene, so maybe that might make you feel better.
Well, that's funny. That's good. I can look forward to that at some point.
Maybe. I'm not saying. It doesn't mean the rest of the movie's good.
Yeah, well, there's the concept and then there's the execution.
Exactly.
So now we'll take it to the kill of the week. My kill is the pogo kill because it made me think of DuckTales. I fucking loved it. I mean, because he's jumping on the chest, I'm just hearing like doo 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 doo.
Yep, and you got two. You got an Irish and a Scottish guy, both obsessed with gold.
So what's your kill?
I did like the pogo kill because I liked the creepy slow motion. And I did kind of get a kick out of his little nursery rhyme. But I'm still going to go with Mrs. O'Grady because I just loved his ventriloquist act so much because of how creepy it was. So Mrs. O'Grady's puppet act with an honorable mention to the pogo stick.
So my rating. I'm going to give this movie a 3'6" out of 5.
Oh. Okay, that was good. Oh, shit. Oh.
It's Warwick's height, so I just had to go with it.
I was about ready to search, but you beat me to it. I really enjoyed this one. I'm glad it seemed like you did, too. For the most part, I'm giving it 4 dishes of restaurant meatloaf out of 5.
5 Salisbury steaks that has just as much cow as your shoes.
Yeah, my as you can tell, my likes were really pretty much hating on Tori and really hating on Alex. The rest of it, nitpicks. I just had so much fun with the goofy mixture, you know, the mixture of goofiness and like legit creepiness. And Warwick Davis is just fucking fantastic in this. So
yeah, it's a shame that they tried to jam two co-stars that took away from the comedy and the talent, because Warwick fucking brought it, and Ozzy, mm-hmm. he played a likable simpleton.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like a dog sled team where half the team is going dead straight ahead, which you need, but the other half is like a wobbly shopping cart. Like, they're just pulling to the left, and you're like, come the fuck on. Come on.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, Robert Hi Gorman is the squeaky wheel in this grocery cart. Okay, we'll say that.
The squeaky voice wheel.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But you know, before we wrap up, there was just one thing left. We got sequels, we got other sequels, and funny enough, this laid the groundwork for the true sequel, because apparently, it's not all the same Leprechaun, right? Because we don't see characters referenced in future episodes, future installments, right?
Correct. Right. The only true sequel is Leprechaun Returns. But like even though it's Leprechaun 2, 3, 4, whatever, those are not the same Leprechaun. It just happens to be Warwick Davis playing another killer Leprechaun.
Wow, so they do all look alike. Yeah, apparently this did somewhat lay the groundwork for a sequel. But, you know, either due to some of the material being a little too topical at the time or just not fleshed out enough, they decided to cut it out. But, you know, our diligent agents, our men in the field and our ladies in the field and non-binary friends in the field, they definitely managed to get the gold.
Yeah.
And they stole it from the pot and they brought it to us. And so far, they're still alive. And we are delivering that to you. This was the setup for the sequel that we never got to see, and apparently Jones didn't get to see it either. So there was a little bridging material, but, you know, they just didn't anticipate carrying on that story. They had, like, other leprechauns to talk about. So, but for your benefit, you get to see the little setup. Like, it takes place about 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a little post-credits thing that, you know, they were going to do like the Avengers before they had the Avengers. So I guess because nobody had done anything like it before, they're just like, you can't promise another movie, especially after these reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You deserve it because you're fucking great people, and you're going to get it on this week's It Came from the Cutting Room Floor.
The last time, Alex, I said no.
Dude, it's been 7 years. He ain't coming back. It's time to spend the gold.
It ain't right to tempt fate.
It ain't right the university's so damn expensive and we're just sitting on $50,000. I can't afford to get into med school without it. I need it, man.
Well, we all agreed not to touch it.
Well, we all ain't here. My shitty brother left town after knocking up Tori and she went back to L.A. with her daddy. The group votes just down to us.
Ain't doing no harm where it is.
It's definitely doing us harm by not being in our bank accounts. You wasted hundreds on Clover decals for the truck, which is baffling, since even if he did come back, he wasn't repelled by pictures of a clover. God knows why you also spent any $5 on an actual iron pot to put the gold in just to stick it in that rusted out pickup. We found it in a leather sack and it was just fine.
Now, better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, all right. Sorry I let you buy that 15-volume videotape series on astral projection and the spiritual defense training seminars that you were all set on with the money from our taxi, paint, auto repair, and personal massage business. Your stupid fears have cost us $1,000 in debt when we could be tens of thousands in profit.
I did all the massages. I should get to say so in how it's spent. Also, you never did tell me why it's called a happy ending. I'm not happy. Neither are my hands. They're all chapped and dry from the washing I have to do after, and I still never ever feel quite clean.
Fine. I can't afford med school. I'm still leaving town because I'm done with you. I'm just going to be a roadie for the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, they're washed up. You're better off with the Foo Fighters.
Please! A drummer as a singer? Who does Grohl think he is? Phil Collins? Pumpkins are gonna last forever.
Yeah, we'll see whose brain needs a fixin'.
Well, so I guess we found Ozzy's savant talent was the lifespan of certain bands.
Wow. If I didn't hate Alex before, I really hate that little shit now.
Well, on the plus side, at least he's out of work.
Good. That makes me smile knowing that. That warms me little heart knowing that that kid is a failure.
He's probably making ends meet by giving up personal massages now.
That's right.
So... Well, I had a fucking blast.
Yeah.
It was great having you back.
Mm-hmm. Just glad to know that, you know, like I said, after my last appearance, I am welcome back. This wasn't another, this wasn't another, you know, 1-2-3 month ban, considering that this was also my idea for this month. But we'll see. We still have 3 more movies to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see how the goodwill goes. But for now, like, we're in the honeymoon phase of the return. And, man. So, as I said before, we're doing a whole theme all month, all Leprechaun. So we're going to see if there's any highs or lows or if this is just like a straight mediocre putt.
Yeah, I'd expect nothing less from this show. Mediocre is our name.
Mediocre is my middle name. I guess that's about it. Eric, where can people find you?
Easiest place to find me is my YouTube channel, Hey Internet Eric here. It's literally just me talking about movies, doing unboxings, the usual YouTube shtick. Or you can find me on my podcast, Two Bearded Losers, where me and my buddy Alex discuss movies. We have done a Leprechaun month, but that was just me trolling Alex because he absolutely fucking hates these movies. But, you know, we've also talked a couple Friday the 13th. We've also talked Howard the Duck, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Terror Train, Dead Heat, so many things. We recently did John Carpenter's The Thing and The Hidden. You can find us, the video for us, at twobeardedlosers.com. That takes you to the playlist of our videos. We are live every Saturday, God willing, 9 p.m. Central Time on YouTube. And then, you know, that is uploaded to twobeardedlosers.com. Just subscribe to my YouTube channel and click the bell. You'll get the notification when we go live. It's an interactive chat. Hope to see you there.
Sweet. And you'll always find us here. I've got some other podcasts that I'm trying to do, but, you know, trying. A whole lot of trying. And I'll let you know when I've actually done them. But what I can guarantee is that we're going to be getting another Graveyard Shift to you next week. But until then, I am Mike.
I'm Eric.
And thank you for joining us on the Graveyard Shift.
The Graveyard Shift is a Strange Biscuits production. Visit our website at strangebiscuits.com/graveyardshift to hear all of our previous episodes. Subscribe to us, rate, and review us on CastBox, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Spotify. And don't forget to check out our Instagram at The Graveyard Shift Pod, as well as our Facebook at The Graveyard Shift Pod. Our Twitter is GS_HorrorPod, and if you wish to support the show financially, visit us at patreon.com/graveyard. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show and get bonus content. The theme for The Graveyard Shift is As Brutal As It Ever Was by Technoaxe. Visit their website at technoaxe.com and their YouTube channel for more royalty-free music. Thank you for listening, and as always, stay spooky. Ha 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 ha